Great seminaries teach their students how to study the Bible and preach great sermons. Sometimes, however, men and women training for full-time ministry leave the campus with academic degrees, but with very little training for life. As a result, far too many young pastors grow disenchanted with the ministry and choose another vocation. Well, today on Insight for Living, we have the privilege of hearing Chuck Swindoll deliver a highly personal message to the students at Dallas Theological Seminary. He chose to impart wisdom that would equip his audience to navigate adversity. Chuck titled his talk, Meaningful Messages in Misfortune.
Things are often not as bad as we think they are, but because we're short-sighted and tend to be a little impatient with life, we jump to the wrong conclusion that it's terrible rather than an opportunity for us to learn and to grow as a result of it. A co-ed sent the following letter to her parents. Dear Mom and Dad, just thought I'd drop you a note to clue you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy named Jim. He quit school after grade 11 to get married. About a year ago, we got a divorce. We've been going together for 2 months and plan to get married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment. I think I might be pregnant. At any rate, I dropped out of school last week, although I'd like to finish college sometime in the future. Next page of the letter. Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that everything I've written so far in the letter is false. None of this is true, but it is true I got a C- in French. and I flunked math. And it is true, I'm going to need some more money for my tuition payments. Signed, your beloved daughter. Don't ever do that to your parents, ever. How easy for us when in a situation like this, it's resolved quickly, but how easy for us when life doesn't resolve quickly to think that some misfortune, some real trial that we're going through marks virtually the end of life as we've known it, when in reality, it may very well be a whole new beginning. So today, I want to address the importance of learning meaningful lessons from misfortunes that occur. I have no idea what you are facing today. And even if I did, nothing I prepared to say would change. I don't know what you're going through. But God knows. In fact, the good thing about God's knowledge is that he not only knows where you are, he knows where all of this is leading. You don't. You know the past fairly well, depending on your memory. You know the present quite well. But you know nothing beyond this second in moment in time. And in light of that, you are limited in your understanding, and your perspective is skewed. None of that affects God's will or God's plan. It's unfolding, it's unrolling, regardless of our partial knowledge or our limited understanding or our skewed perspective. His will is taking place. Your personal trial right now included. If he wished for it to be different, it would be different. He doesn't. Therefore, what you are going through is exactly what he has planned for you to go through. Right now, much of that is theological theory, except for you going through really, really tough times. And it's amazing what that does to theories. They sort of blow out the window and you're left having to come to terms with dealing with the ever-present now. Tozer wrote it well. We think of ourselves as inhabiting some parenthetic interval between the God who was and the God who will be. And in this ever-present now, we're lonely with that ancient and cosmic loneliness. But we need not be lonely. He was with us then. He will be with us then. He is with us now. Now, with all of that as preparation, I want you to look at a verse, if you need to or would like to, since you know it by heart. It's found right in the core of Romans chapter 8. What verse is it? Yeah, it's verse 28. You know it. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Yada, yada, yada. Out it comes. You know the words. You probably, some of you, wouldn't be able to tell me even in the Greek what it says. What you may have forgotten is the context. Context helps set it all up. If you look closely at verse 25, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. If we hope for what we do not see, I've got that circled in my Bible, we do not see. God sees it, we don't. So we hope for what we do not see. And so with perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. But we do not see it. And we love to see it. We love to know the details of it. We love to know the why answer. But we do not see. Look at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know. I have that circled. We do not see. And we do not know. I'll tell you something else. No one else does either. As much as they may love you and as close as they may be to you and as experienced as they may be in spiritual things, none of us sees and none of us knows, though God does both. God sees what we are hoping and waiting for, and God knows what we pray and groan about. So that means we're left with stuff that baffles us. I don't know why some husbands die young and other husbands live on with their wives to older age. I don't know why some children are taken and others live a full life. I don't know why my neighbor's child gets a dread disease and my child never got that disease. I don't know that. I don't know that that would bring much comfort to the neighbor, but I know there's mystery in it all. And in the midst of the difficulty of not knowing and not seeing, this verse appears. And it talks about what we know. Look at it. Begins like that. I want to do a little analysis of it, though I don't want to pick it apart and thereby ruin the verse, which I think can happen if you just analyze it to death. It's to be applied even more than analyzed. Let me go further in all of this. Our problem is we focus, being humans, on the immediate. God focuses on the ultimate. But second, our knowledge is limited. God's knowledge is limitless. you know by now in your studies, it's the omniscience of God. He never learns anything. He's never surprised by anything. It all unfolds exactly as he has designed it. We need the reminder of that regularly. No one ever wrote it better than Isaiah. As he quotes from the Lord God, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we're in two different realms. The old love song, two different worlds we live in. With God, two different realms we exist in. And in this limited, tight radius called now, we are forced to come to terms with what we're going to do with the stuff that doesn't make sense. The struggles are there. A tough situation occurs, and if you're like me, you want relief, and you want it just as quickly as you can get it. Because our knowledge is only as big as our brain, which is smaller than a bread box, tiny, tiny organ, and we wrestle with it there, and we come to the Isaiah 55 passage, and we see our thoughts are way, way below his thoughts. And our ways are as well. And all of his thoughts and ways are better, which at the time these events occur doesn't make a lot of sense. Let me add that. Let's not get so theoretical in our knowledge of theology that we forget the senselessness, humanly speaking, of events. Now, from your studies at Dallas Seminary, you will gain a greater perspective, a deeper knowledge, and it will help you in the realm of the sense of it all, but you'll never be able to fully unravel the mystery, because you can't see where it's all going. So Romans 8:28 comes as an oasis. I like to think of it. First of all, it's something we know. This is a promise to be claimed, not ignored. I don't care how well you can quote it or how often you have taught it or referred to it. It is to be claimed. It is an unconditional promise. We know. It's not something we simply hope for. We know it. It's not guessing. It's knowing. We don't think it's going to occur. It will occur because God says you can know this. It's not depending on how we feel about it. No, this is what we know. We have absolute, unshakable confidence in this truth. We know what? That God causes. Stop right there. The project is God's, not ours. Life isn't about us. It is about God's working through us. Hard message for the young to grasp. All of it is in his hands. God is at work carrying out his ways in his time. He has the long view in mind. And in all the mess of life, he is at work. In all the pain, all the disappointment, all the misfortune, all the mess, he stays at it. The old words, he plugs away. He's doing his plan. He's carrying out his will. It's just one thing for one person, something altogether different for someone else. It's one thing for me. It's another thing for Chaplain Joe. It's one thing for her, it's another thing for you. God is at work through it all. His plan is relentlessly unfolding. Though you cannot understand it and you cannot explain it. And often in the really toughest part of it, God shows himself the strongest. George Herbert wrote it this way: storms are the triumph of his art. Now we know God causes, here it is, all things to work together for good. His plan is total and beneficial. It isn't partial and questionable. Our problem is with the all part of the verse. Be a lot easier if it were almost all. A lot of it would make, of life would make better human sense. Life is not about making good human sense. God is not logical in our sense of logic. God's timing is way off from our perspective, when in fact it's really on. Remember the words of Romans 11:33? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the, get these words, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Unsearchable, unfathomable. Sort of a climax in Romans at the end of chapter 11. Paul just exults in the glory of God and the greatness of God and comes to the words unsearchable and unfathomable. And it's all for his glory and our good. A-L-L. Every situation you encounter, every hardship you endure, every disappointment you deal with, every loss, may I add this, every failure, all of it for your good and for his glory, or it would not occur. He directs it and or permits it, and it takes place, and it becomes a learning experience. Now, let's take a deep breath, and let me illustrate it in another way. Back in December of 2017, a man named Bob Green wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal. It's centered on a speech delivered by Chief Justice John Roberts. Justice Roberts had been invited by his son's ninth grade graduating class, his school, to deliver the commencement to the class. The crowd was modest, as expected. There wasn't a lot of hoopla made over who was going to bring the speech. It was probably best because the speech he brought was a shocker. Let me read from some of the article itself. The Chief Justice had been invited to present the commencement address at his son's ninth grade graduation. He told his audience that commencement speakers will typically wish you good luck and extend good wishes to all of you. I will not do that, and I will tell you why. From time to time in the years to come, I hope you will be treated unfairly, he began his speech, so that you will come to know the value of justice. I hope that you will suffer betrayal, because that will teach you the importance of loyalty. Sorry to say, but I hope you will be lonely from time to time so that you don't take your friends for granted. And when you lose, as you will, I hope every now and then your opponent will gloat over your failures. It is a way for you to understand the importance of sportsmanship. I hope you'll be ignored so that you know the importance of listening to others. And I hope you will have just enough pain to learn compassion. Whether I wish these things or not, they're going to happen. And whether you benefit from them or not will depend on, get this, your ability to see the message in your misfortunes. Admittedly, that's where I got the title for this talk. For you to see the message in your misfortunes. Some of you still struggle with and stumble over those messages. Because life isn't what you expected. That never was God's plan. He didn't bring you into this world to give you what you expected. He brought you in this world to glorify his name and to realize his greatness and his grace and goodness. I decided to share with you some things I hope for you. None of them are the things you would expect from a chapel speaker. None of them are said to be cruel or in any way to be offensive. They're meant to be realistic. Here they are. Five of my hopes for you, not only this new year, but in the year, especially in the years of ministry to come. Number one, I hope you will not know early success. Rather, I hope you will encounter difficulties early on that will shatter your self-confidence and drive you to your knees. That will teach you the value of vulnerability. It will enable you to keep success from ever going to your head. And even though you may think it never could, pride still lurks in the backwash of our minds. We are forever looking out for number one. Forever defending ourselves, forever trying to make the record, straighten out the record so that people understand, most of whom don't and won't. That's number one. I hope you do not experience early success. If you do, I get concerned for you, which leads me to the second. I hope you will experience obscurity and anonymity after you leave these halls of learning, especially if you are greatly gifted and very bright. I hope you will learn what it is to be unknown, overlooked, and forgotten. The result will be a true humility that will keep you surprised when and if God should ever exalt you. One of the very best things that ever happened to Moses happened over a 40-year period, right at middle age, 40 to 80, when he was the sine qua non of Egyptian popularity, trained in the best schools, reared at the feet of the daughter of the Pharaoh, handsome, tall, dark, looked like Charlton Heston. You know, and here is this 40-year-old man who failed terribly and committed a murder and ran for his life. Now he will become acquainted with obscurity and anonymity over a period of 40 years. He kept his father-in-law's sheep in the most barren part of the wilderness.
This is Insight for Living, and we're midway through a message Chuck Swindoll delivered to an audience of students in training for the ministry. He titled his talk, Meaningful Messages in Misfortune. Given this opportunity to speak to students, Chuck decided to point his audience back to the book. When adversity comes our way, nothing will bring greater focus and direction than rehearsing the promises of God's Word. And while this message was directed toward men and women preparing for full-time vocational ministry, the principles apply to anyone who's serious about walking with God. This is a common thread that's woven throughout the tapestry of Insight for Living's 40 years in ministry. No matter where life takes us, we know that nothing brings more clarity than focusing on the promises of God recorded in His Word. And when you partner financially with this ministry, you can be sure that your donations are deployed for this very purpose. We point people to the truth of the Bible, and God's Word never returns void. As an investor in Insight for Living, let me encourage you with a comment we received through social media. He said, "Chuck, I'm a pastor, and I've been listening to you for the past 25 years. You have been an anchor in my life with your teaching and preaching. If we don't get the chance to meet each other in this life, then be ready for a big hug in the life hereafter." Insight for Living touches a lot of lives, even those who are shepherding congregations. And listeners like this one have access to Insight for Living because people like you step forward with financial support. Thanks for your faithful and generous gifts. You can send a donation in the mail by writing to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Be sure to hear Chuck Swindoll conclude his message to seminarians about navigating misfortune tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Meaningful Messages in Misfortune, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.